This is Speaking of Writers. I'm Steve Richards. The book is The Price You Pay. The author is Nick Petrie. The work of acclaimed and award-winning author Nick Petrie continues to gain esteem. In 2016, he made his debut with The Drifter, and Petrie introduced us to Peter Ash, a war veteran struggling with PTSD, who finds himself in dangerous situations and facing challenges that only a man with his unique skill set can solve. In The Price You Pay, Peter Ash is placed in his most personal predicament yet. He must follow his friend Lewis into a criminal underworld when secrets from the past threaten everything they hold dear. Nick Petrie is the author of 7 novels in this Peter Ash series, most recently The Runaway. The Drifter, that I mentioned earlier, won both the ITW Thriller Award and the Barry Award for Best First Novel and was a finalist for the Edgar and Hammett Awards. A husband and father, he makes his home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Happy to have Nick Petrie join me here on Speaking of Writers. Nick, welcome to this program.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the interest.
So where did the idea for this story come from?
This particular book, in the Peter Ash series, Peter is the sort of the main protagonist. But he's got a best friend named Lewis, who's as you alluded to, a former career criminal. And usually what happens is Peter, finds himself in some trouble, helping somebody out typically. And when things get a little too hairy, he calls on Lewis to come lend a hand. But what I wanted to do was to sort of turn the tables. I wanted Lewis to be the one who was in trouble and Peter the one coming to help. And it deepens the stakes. It makes it much more personal. And it lets the readers see much more of Lewis's sort of background and his internal life. He's in the past, he's been really a fairly mysterious, character. Peter thinks of him as the most dangerous man he's ever met. And I wanted to sort of shed a light on that. And that's something that I think other writers have done as their series progress. Lewis is actually a fan favorite. Readers have been asking me to write a book like this since The Drifter.
Chicago, the setting here, great setting for professional criminals, right?
Oh, sure. Better than Milwaukee.
Yeah. How did you develop your writing style, Nick? And how has it evolved over the past 7 novels?
I'm not sure if the style has evolved so much. Hopefully I've gotten better at what I do. I started writing in high school. I was the editor of my high school newspaper. I wrote an 8-part soap opera based on, roasting my friends and my enemies as well in high school. And I just sort of got hooked. But, I think writers develop style by who they read. So the first writer I read that I really sort of wanted to be was Ernest Hemingway. I mean, that's not unusual for young men in particular. But that sort of submerged emotion that rides through everything, that things are that are unspoken. And then I discovered Jim Harrison, who does sort of the same thing. Jim is a Michigan writer who's now passed away, but wrote a book called Legends of the Fall, which some of your readers might know, which was a big deal. And then I started reading Cormac McCarthy. He wrote a trilogy of books called The Border Trilogy. The first one called All the Pretty Horses, which won the National Book Award, was made into a very successful film with Matt Damon. But it's a cowboy novel. Like, that is what it is at the root of it. It's a post-war novel in which two young boys, young men, 17 years old, run away to Mexico to be cowboys in the old way. And it really made me think that you could write about anything. If you can do it well, if you can elevate the language, if you can use real human, sort of stories and fears, and not writing about superheroes, right? You could get away with anything. So that was kind of where my sort of style comes from, and I'm interested in people, so that's why the characters are a little more developed than they are, I think, in some thrillers, and those relationships also. Are a little more developed, because that's interesting to me.
Nick, how do you come up with the names of these characters, Peter and June Cassidy?
Well, Peter, names are really important to me. I think some writers don't care so much, but some of us really put way too much time into thinking about it. Peter had a bunch of different names, but what I have found is that once, like, I can't really, a character doesn't really come to life until I know what the name is. And Peter, you know, Peter is, Saint Peter is the guardian of the pearly gates, and Ash is the product of a great fire. And Peter is sort of the product of a great conflagration as well, because he comes out of his experience as a Marine Corps veteran of a couple of different wars. So that's where Peter Ash comes from, but I didn't do that intentionally. I just sort of figured it out afterward. But I also wanted, you always want something that rolls off the tongue. You always want something that feels a little unusual, but also familiar. And you know, Lewis only has one name. A couple books ago, I had a new editor who said, so, you know, I can't find what Lewis's last name is. And he doesn't have one. He's like Madonna or Cher. He is just he has a mononym, which is the name for somebody like that.
He's Lewis.
He's Lewis.
That's it. What do you think makes a good story? What are the ingredients that make a good story?
Well, again, I speak for myself. I'm interested in stories that have a certain speed to them, right? I want something to happen. And I want characters that you care about enough so that you care about, you know, kind of the trouble they get themselves into. I've read a lot of literary fiction over the years, and I need a story where something happens and something's at stake, you know, sort of the domestic drama. I mean, I'm living in a domestic drama, right? So I'm not so interested about reading and writing about those things. For me, it begins with character. What do these characters want? What drives them? What are their interests? What are their fears? I am super interested in human emotion. I'm super interested in how people relate to each other. And so, you know, to me, that's always at the heart of everything. And the story for me, you know, I want it to be fast. I want it to be fun. I want there to be some humor in it. But I also want to break your heart. I mean, I want to keep you up reading way late at night, long past your bedtime. And I want you to clutch your chest at moments, both good and bad. I mean, that's the goal, is to move people. So those are the books that I love.
What was the last book to make you laugh or cry?
Oh, my goodness. I am actually reading Dennis Lehane's new novel right now, Small Mercies. And it does both. And I've been reading him for, you know, a long, long time. I think I found him maybe two or three books into that first detective series that he wrote. And I've read everything he's written ever since. I think he's a fantastic writer. And this book got a lot of hype. And I was a little leery to sort of dive in because of that, but it lives up to all the hype. It is both this super poignant exploration of loss. At the same time, it's a very visceral, fast moving, you know, kind of revenge story. So, you know, among the list of writers I would like to be as good as would be Dennis Lehane, for sure.
If you had to name one book, Nick, that made you who you are today, what would that book be?
That's a good question. I'm looking at my shelf. I have a very small shelf of books that I have read, you know, probably five or six times. And I think it would probably be a book I already mentioned, which is All the Pretty Horses, because of the fact that I mean, I grew up reading detective fiction. I grew up on all that good old stuff. But I didn't, you know, I sort of thought that was not, you know, everybody, we didn't read that in school. You know, I was an English major. We're not reading that stuff as an undergraduate or a graduate student. But it really let me understand that you could write whatever you wanted as long as you were good at it. Even if it's just a cowboy novel, right? This is not Zane Grey or Louis L'Amour. This is cowboy novel as literature. So that book really kind of changed my life.
Are you an outliner or a pantser?
I'm a total pantser all the way. I would love to do it differently. I think I would be a much more efficient writer if I could do it differently. But I tend to lose interest if I know too much. So it's a discovery for me as a writer, the way it is hopefully for the reader.
Any interesting writing quirks that you have?
I don't know. I have a couple. I mean, I've been doing this long enough. I have some sort of tips that I have developed for myself. When I can't move the story forward, I keep a notebook. And because your brain functions differently. So this is just your run of the mill. Your brain functions differently when you have a pen in your hand as opposed to your fingers on the keys. And so there's a more direct connection. So when I get stuck, I go to that notebook and I just start writing. You know, I often start with a line, so what happens next? Or what's wrong with this scene? Like, I can't figure out why things aren't moving forward or why it's not working. And it's, you know, I just sit and kind of write through, you know, it's thinking with a pen, basically. And then sometimes that doesn't work either, or the problem is maybe larger or more complicated. And then I have a big artist pad that's 11 by 17, really nice quality paper. And I'll start in the middle and there's no lines. So I'll start in the middle and then, you know, this sort of, you know, I draw arrows and things connect to each other. So that's often like if I get stuck with a story thing as opposed to a character thing. And it looks like I once made the mistake of showing it one of those pages to my my editor. And I think she thought I was demented because it really is. It's lots of little writing and lots of arrows. And I don't think I'll show that to anybody again. But, you know, other than that, I like to get up and start. I'm the best in the morning. I have a very regimented caffeine system to make sure I have just enough, but not too much. I also find that exercise helps me think and work. So I'll go for a walk sometimes two, sometimes three in a day. I get stuck or I get annoyed or I get distracted. And it's like, fine, I put on my shoes and go for a walk. So, I mean, I think all of this, I mean, every working writer has some variation on this. It's one of my favorite subjects to talk about with writers. It's like, what do you do and how do you do it? Because we all think we're kind of nuts and we all think we're doing it wrong because it's hard. Like it's not an easy thing to write. I'm on my eighth novel. And it's, you know, I have friends who are on their 25th or their 30th novel. And it doesn't get easier. So it helps to talk to each other about, you know, kind of how was your week? You know, what are you working on? So I'm blessed to be part of a larger crime fiction community that I have found really helpful over the years.
Now, Nick, when you start in the morning, if you take a break, take a walk, will you come back to it?
Or oh, yeah.
You will. Okay.
Yeah. I often in a, you know, the best case, I treat it like a 9 to 5. Hmm. There's a writer, a children's book author named Daniel Pinkwater, who my son read all those books. And there was a great interview with him on public radio, I believe, where, you know, he said his rule was that he had to sit in his office for 2 hours. He didn't have to write, but he couldn't do anything else. And that's sort of my approach to my day. It's like, I mean, I do get up and I walk around the house and I scratch my head and I make another cup of tea and I stare out the window and, oh, wait, is it time for another cup of coffee? You know, there's a lot of that, which makes my wife roll her eyes, that counts as writing. But, it's my job. It's what I do for a living. And so I don't get to go to the movies in the middle of the day. You know, I don't get to. I don't get to goof off, right? I have the problem with being self-employed, which is what writers are, is that the boss is kind of a jerk. The boss has demands and he knows when you're being lazy. He knows when you're slacking off. So that's just, to me, that's just sort of part of the package.
Yeah, I remember interviewing Elmore Leonard on this program, the late Elmore Leonard, the great Elmore Leonard years ago. And he said, if you write a page a day, that was always his goal. You'll have a book. Page a day,
yeah,
at least.
Yeah, I've said that many, many times. I have friends who have demanding day jobs who get up at 5:30, they write a page, they go off to their complicated, difficult job, and at the end of the year, they have a book. It's true. But actually, Elmore Leonard also was a huge, huge influence on me. I still go back and reread his stuff. What is the Out of Sight is kind of the next book on my my outline list. I have one of the things I try to do every year is pick a book that I really love that has that really does something for me, and break it down. So every chapter gets 3 or 4 lines. You know, whose point of view is it? How many pages is it? What happens? Kind of what's the emotional content? And if you do that for a whole book, you learn a whole bunch about how books are structured. You learn, you really understand the book on an intimate level. And that's really how I taught myself to be a novelist.
I think one of his other tips was also never start a book with the perspective of the weather, I think was another tip for Elmore.
Yeah,
from Elmore.
He's got this great little book. I think it just started as a, I don't know quite how it started, but it's 10 tips for writing. And it's like, start in the middle, you never begin with the weather. Yeah. They're very short. I mean, you could put this on a note card.
Yeah.
But it's very wise. And he was really a master.
Yeah. Are you working on another novel? And if so, Nick, can you give us a sneak peek into what it's about?
I can. I am. I've got probably the last 10,000 words to go in a standalone novel. So not a Peter Ash book. About a guy named Bobby Cruikshank, an ex-con in rural Wisconsin, whose younger brother, who he really idolizes, gets killed in a roadhouse parking lot. And the younger brother, Paul, is the last person who would ever be in a roadhouse parking lot, let alone getting killed there. And so Bobby talks to the cops, and the cops really have no idea. And so Bobby needs to figure this out, and takes it upon himself to find who killed his little brother.
He is Nick Petrie. The book out now is The Price You Pay. Thank you for joining me, Nick.
Thanks so much for having me.
And this is Speaking of Writers.